Welcome to the Send Network Podcast, a resource for pastors, planters, and everyday missionaries looking to multiply new churches in places of great need. And now your hosts, Jeff Christofferson and Tim Wheat.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Send Network Podcast. This is Tim Wheat, and so glad to have you joining with us today. We have a special guest in the studio with us, and we'll introduce him in just a moment. But then, as usual, our esteemed co-host, colleague, man of all seasons, Jeff Christofferson, is here via electronic means. So, Jeff, you want to say hi to everybody?
Hey, everybody. And we have a great guest today. Actually, an in-house expert who has a lot of skill and reputation, and is Dustin Willis. And we want to talk to him today on the idea of biblical community and hospitality and how that all works together. So this should be fun.
Really looking forward to this time. Dustin, you want to say hi to everybody, and we'll jump in here in just a minute.
Yeah, absolutely. Excited to be on the podcast. It's kind of fun for me. I get to be a part of what North American Mission Board is doing. I do that from a marketing aspect of thing and an event side of things. But my heart at the end of the day and what wakes me up every morning is the tip of that spear for us is healthy, multiplying church plants. And so I do marketing, I do events, but that's all for the purpose of church planting at the end of the day.
Yeah, so that again, that's... Go ahead, Jeff. I'll let you jump in on that.
I was just gonna say, and you were a church planter, weren't you, Dustin?
I was. I don't know if I'm still like if I'm. I don't think I'm certified anymore, quote unquote. I think my
car,
I think street cred's gone. It's been a few years now. But yeah, no, I moved and planted in 2005 with a team. Launched in 2007 publicly and. Had an incredible run and loved it. God's been doing a lot. That church is multiplying over and over again still today. So heartbeat is church planting.
Yeah, so that's actually what I was going to kind of lead in with. Just give a little of your history of church planting background. You did that, and now you're here at North American Mission Board. So you left that. How long have you been here? And then, again, you explained a little bit of what you do, but for those who might not know you, just maybe give a one-sentence kind of description of what you run here at NAM for us.
Yeah, absolutely. So moved and planted in 2005, as I said, launched in 2007, lived there, multiplied leaders, and the leaders were in place, and the ability for me to leave made a lot of sense at that time. And so I was there 7 years, been here at NAM for five, and my journey here at NAM, I've been a part of the church planting world here, but also now I work in the marketing and events team. I lead those teams. And again, the end goal of what we do is that we'd see healthy church plants all across North America. And so we do events, things like the Send Conference, and we've had three of those this year in Orlando, Dallas, and then Southern California when we kicked that off in February. So it's been a cool journey and love what I get to do. It's kind of fun. I got a degree in marketing, believe it or not, a long time ago. And so it took until this past year. My father's finally proud of me. So it shows up in my title for the first time.
Right. So it's one of those so what did you get your degree in and what are you doing? And now it's finally coming back around.
It took a while, but we're there.
So Dustin, I think a really cool part of your story is when you planted that church in South Carolina and you left to come and work with us at NAM. And the church you planted, it's still planting churches, isn't it?
Absolutely. They have another church launching this month in downtown Knoxville, Tennessee. They got a guy that they sent up who lives in New York City now. They've planted all across their city. So they have really become a multiplying church. It's amazing to see what God's doing in and through them. And that's Midtown Fellowship. It's in Columbia, South Carolina.
That speaks well of your leadership.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. We did. I felt like we left when I left. We left them well, but at the end of the day, God has gifted those men and ladies there at that church to lead well, and they're doing it. They're much better off since I've been gone.
I heard that too, but I didn't want to say that. Not teasing.
So there's lots that we could be talking with Dustin about from various aspects of church planting because of his experience and his involvement even today with church planters literally across the country through our conferences and other means. Jeff, what are we actually going to be talking with Dustin about, though? What you teed up for him?
Well, Dustin has a heart for something. On biblical hospitality, biblical community working together, and he's written a book on it. And Dustin, why is that so important to you? Why is that something that you said I'm going to write on? And
Yeah, honestly, biblical community is the one thing that specifically the Holy Spirit used in my life to transform and change and mold me. It was other men speaking into my heart, speaking into my life, being able to confront me in my sin, being able to have a group I confess sin with. And not only did God use that in my own soul, but I began to see how God used that community as an incredible apologetic to a hurting world, for them to be able to look and see, wow, that's what real community is. So I really got to see two sides of the same coin, if you will, one being the community aspect, but then seeing how the Lord uses community to push forward his mission to reach those who don't know him.
And so when you're thinking about you starting a new church, it gives sometimes a church that existed for a long time and community and transparency, it can be a little superficial, like after the end of church, you're talking about sports instead of maybe what it is that God's doing. And then and even Bible study becomes more Bible study about things we learn about God, not how what we've learned is making a difference in my own life. When you plant a church, you have an opportunity to set a new culture, don't you?
Yeah, it absolutely. And I think one of the greatest culture setting values we can put out there, especially if you're out there, you're a church planter, I think your vulnerability before people and your ability to build what could be an honest community is really important. I'm not saying that Sundays when you get up needs to be your therapy time where you get up and confess all your sins to the church every Sunday, but just that sense of honesty with people is very transformative to others, because others, when they show up, they don't think, oh, I've got to have it all together at this church. I've got to have it all together with these people. It's the ability to know, no, I can be honest about where I'm at. We talk about more things than, like you said, than sports or just what I'm learning about God, but I'm learning what God is doing in and how he's transforming me. You create a great culture.
Hmm. You know, yeah. One of the, I guess, nuances, we've been talking so far about community, and there is a number of resources, a number of messages, and various ways in which the aspect of biblical community has been built in to the framework of Christian life for years now. But it seemed like you took it to a little different twist or level. And would you talk about that? Because you framed it in the sense of hospitality, which to me, when I think of biblical community, I'm thinking about you and I, we get together at Starbucks or wherever and kind of get to know each other and do life together. But the hospitality brings in the aspect of the home.
Absolutely, yeah.
So talk about that.
And unfortunately, I think the word hospitality has been robbed by HGTV and Food Network.
Let me just say, so I Googled hospitality just to kind of see what would come up. And then I went into a site that sells a lot of resources and books and everything and Googled it through that site. And it was all the books on setting the table well and the manners and, you know, all that. So,
well, that is where Dustin really shines.
That's right. I thought, man, this guy is in his element now.
Perfect podcast. That's my sweet spot. How do you set the table? No, it's funny you mentioned the table, though, to use that as just maybe even a picture. I think that the greatest meeting place for community and mission can be the literal table in your own home. I eat, you know, at minimum, I promise you, I eat 21 meals a week. Mm-hmm. Often it's more than that. But the amazing thing is who am I eating those meals with? Well, some of the meals I eat with Christians, some of those meals I eat with non-Christians. And so for me and my wife, and I can just tell you, yeah, I work at the North American Mission Board. I've been a part of church planning, but this really is who we are on our street where we live, mm-hmm. right outside of Atlanta, is we have Christians at our table, non-Christians at our table, and we talk about the honest things of life. We have great conversations about it, and we ultimately get to see the Holy Spirit begin to work. And so not only is the non-Christian hearing about Jesus and the gospel, but the Christian who's there with us is learning in that moment what it looks like to live out mission, what it looks like to have a gospel conversation very naturally over a meal. And often our homes we think of our homes as a place of refuge and protection, and that's okay. It's fine. It's a place to go and get away for the day, from the day and the work. But I think that it can be one of the most powerful weapons that we have to advance the gospel message. And so we've seen that in our own neighborhood, and we're seeing God work in incredible ways, and people sharing at the table. I don't know how to set the table right, but I do know that I do know that at the table, often it's really amazing to watch a Christian and a non-Christian sitting at that table together and watching the Holy Spirit work.
Yeah, I know for me, we've been the recipients of that gifting and grace and love that you and your wife have, and we didn't sit at a table. I don't remember. We were sitting around in the backyard, you know, kind of, which was a really cool experience and environment just to kind of hang out. Folks.
Yeah, and you were in the backyard that day. One of the things I'll tell you that I do, and this I think this is an incredible way to do hospitality. Jeff, I know you're Canadian, so I don't think you guys call it grilling. I think you call it barbecuing yeah. or something. It's interesting to me. But either way, or smoking or whatever you guys want to call it.
That's a different connotation. So
apologize. My apologies. But our grill that we have, when we grill, most of the time when we do it, I move the grill to the front yard. And that might sound weird and odd because, you know, we all retreat to our backyards. But what we do is we put it in our front yard. We tell the neighbors, hey, we're grilling tonight. You guys want to join us? And there have been oftentimes where we see 2-3 dozen people just show up, bring chairs, sit under a tree.
Isn't that cool?
So it's been an amazing, amazing journey.
And that allows you to write that grill off as a tax write-off too, right?
I haven't done that, but that sounds great.
No, I did not say that.
That's a great picture, Dustin. Yeah. I think there's something really powerful. I noticed it while I lived in Toronto, and now I live in Georgia. And I was thinking, well, you know, with the level of Southern hospitality, maybe that changed. And actually, I think it might even be as bad, where there's just little interaction amongst people. And so it's not like people don't crave it; they crave it, but there's not many people getting outside of their comfort zone to make it happen. And so there's an incredible opportunity when you talk about not protecting your house, not protecting your family, but sharing your house, sharing your family with others, and has a profound effect.
Yeah, so I'm going to pick up on that, Jeff, and just ask a question of Dustin. So what has been the effect, particularly on the non-Christians that you've invited over in that environment? And then also, what have you seen or conversations, the effect that that's had on your own kids when you've had people like that? So kind of hit both of those.
Yeah, so particularly with non-Christians, the cool thing is they've become our best friends. I mean, last night we were with a group of our friends, all of them from the Northeast, all of them extreme Democrat, to the point that their last name is Kennedy. And they live in the Northeast. I mean, and so just when it comes to different views, that a lot of liberal views that they would carry that we don't, but they've become our neighborhood family. And so it's been amazing. Last night we had a discussion and we were talking, they were asking why Rainey worked from home and was that a Christian view? And I was like, well, no, not necessarily. But from there, right. That goes to a place of gospel conversation and we're just eating Mexican food together. So the effect has been great. It's been open lives where people have opened up and told us things that they're like, I don't know why I'm telling you this because I hadn't really shared this with anybody, but when I was in high school, this happened. When I was a kid, and it's amazing. And that's the part where it's like, for it will not be you speaking, but the Holy Spirit speaking. God just does that. We put ourselves in the position, create the environment, and then we watch God, the Holy Spirit, open people's lives. With our kids, it's been incredible. They look at us and go, who's coming over tonight? But they say that every day.
Right.
And so it's become just a part of who we are. They push it now more than we want to even do it. Mm-hmm. And so I can't wait to see what the effects it has on their lives as they get older.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead, Jeff.
I was just going to say, I think sometimes in terms of church planting, what you're describing is church planting 101. Mm. I mean, how many people you have in your home? We used to always our gauge or our metric of how we were doing in this area is how many bottles of booze we end up having at the end of the year by all of our friends and neighbors. You know, just coming and that's just a cultural thing of coming and bring you something. And if you're just inviting Christians over, chances are they're not going to bring a bottle of something to the first year. So, yeah. So I think this is the way churches get started. And then you create a template and a culture that hopefully can be reproduced. And you've experienced this, now pass it on.
Yeah, what I was thinking of in this regard, that it really is just, it becomes a simple way of living out the command of loving your neighbor. So a friend of mine wrote a book about neighboring, you know, and
it's a great book.
Yeah, and it just is a way of recapturing what all of us, I mean, we just need to know our neighbors if we just simply live out that command. And it takes the sometimes the pressure that we feel of, oh, I ought to be witnessing or sharing or whatever. Let's just get to know our neighbors. And that gives us opportunities to speak into their life or to share their life and for them to actually speak into our life and make our lives better in some ways too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. My son's got a great hitting coach for baseball as a result of just hanging out with neighbors. And I grill food. He helps my son in the yard. And he's a guy that, again, we've had very deep conversations about hurt, pain from the past that we've been able to then point to the grace and forgiveness that God brings. Mm-hmm. And so, and the book you mentioned, The Art of Neighboring, incredible book, right. Very influential in my life, a book. And I would suggest that to anybody listening. The Art of Neighboring is a great book. For that. And I think it's, you're right, Jeff, you said Church Planting 101. If you can't gather people in your own home, what makes you think you're going to gather them at the local elementary school or the local movie theater on a Sunday? I think Wayne Cordero said this, incredible church planting hero out there. He said, you teach people what you know, but you reproduce who you are. And so if we're wanting people to reach out, live out on mission, have gospel conversation in the community, it should be happening in our own front yards and within our own homes or the high rise that we live in or whatever our living context may be.
I heard a living testimony of this last week, a church planter who has been at it 3 years, planted really strong, and from it is already planting a daughter church out of there that looks like it's going to take off like crazy. And he said that in 3 years, they've had 500 people from their community at their dinner table.
Wow.
And that just shows a picture of the power of you just make a commitment to getting to know people. It has an impact. What's the name of the book that you wrote, Dustin? Let's get a little commercial out here.
Oh, okay. The book it just released in February. I wrote it with a really good friend named Brandon Clements. It's called The Simplest Way to Change the World. It was with Moody Publishers. And really, it is a practical guide to how do you do this? How do you live out biblical community, but in the context of your own community with your neighbors?
And you can get that on Amazon?
You can. Yep, you can get it on Amazon.
Yeah. Okay. That's a great thing.
Well, I know there's a lot more to this simple way to literally change the world. But as we start to wrap this up, Dustin, any final thoughts or comments to an audience of folks that are listening? And maybe I'll lead you with this, is when you start to open up your home, it obviously affects the environment that our spouses feel most protective of. Have you guys had to navigate through any of that where you had to work through some stuff?
Well, one, I'm probably the most selfish in our relationship and with our home. So it's more of me having to grow to where my wife is. And that kind of typically seems to be the case. But 1 Thessalonians 2:8 says, not only do we share with you the gospel, we share our lives as well. So if you come in our home, hanging right there over our couch is the phrase, our lives as well. It hangs in our home to remind us.
That's awesome.
And so it's a sacrifice for us, yes, because there's days, and I know people listen to the podcast are this way. I want to go home, I want to sit in a dark room, and I don't want anybody to speak.
Right.
But it's like, no, you got to go home sometimes, and you walk in, and I walk in, and there's people sitting literally around kind of the bar of the kitchen waiting for the food to be done, and I'm going, who are these people, and why are they here? And that's been the same thing for both. There's been times where Rainey's had a long day. That's my wife. And there's been days where I've had a long day. But so there is sacrifice in it. But the thing I think that I'd say to everybody about hospitality is it's the one thing that I think anybody can do. Not everybody can get up and preach a sermon maybe necessarily or lead a song or start a missions organization or whatever it may be. But every single person in some way, and hospitality is not so much about an open home as it is an open life. And so all of us can live in that way where we live vulnerably before people, inviting them in, and then beginning to speak truth. Because honestly, you listen for brokenness, you kind of walk and you bring Jesus to those wounds, and then he does the healing. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's something anybody can do.
Yeah, that's great. Fantastic. Hey, great. Jeff, before we wrap it up, any other thoughts or questions for Dustin?
No, not at all. I think we're all grateful. It's not just when you think of a church planting leader and think of all the things he might write, you wouldn't expect a book on hospitality. But really, really grateful that you've poured your life into this idea. It's gonna help a lot of people. So thanks for doing it, Dustin.
I appreciate it, Jeff. Thank you.
Yeah, and I would echo that as well. For me, I mean, literally the title captures it. It's the simplest way to change the world. And I love that. And just thank you for living that out, because it does inspire me. And so what I would encourage our listeners it is something that anyone can do. And, you know, maybe they won't have the 300 or 500, whatever Jeff mentioned a few minutes ago, into their home over the course of a year. And you guys have a lot of people there. But maybe just to pray through and say, this is the way God's called us to live.
Absolutely.
And, you know, once a week or twice a month, just begin to be more intentional about how we can use our home as a resource to advance the kingdom and literally to impact lives. And so you've done that very well and challenged us. Again, your book is The Simplest Way to Change the World, Biblical Hospitality as a Way of Life. So put that in there for us. And thanks for joining with us, Dustin. Appreciate that.
Absolutely. It's a joy.
Yeah, and so today is just one of many podcasts. I'd just like to say before we close out to our audience here that we have a number of different podcasts here through the North American Mission Board that cover a variety of different topics. So if you want to research some of those other topics of podcasts, go to nam.net/podcast, and you'll see the whole library of different podcasts that are available to you. All right. Thanks again for joining with us. Until next time.
You have been listening to the SEND Network Podcast.
Watch over you in these days ahead.
A resource of the North American Mission Board. For more information about today's podcast and other resources to assist you with joining the mission of God, check out namb.net/send-network or email sendnetwork@namb.net.